Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Yesterday on the show, if you were tuned in Newsy Bits, we were talking about Maura Higgins because she has urged youngsters to be kind to one another after hearing that her nephew was being bullied at school recently. And that kind of prompted action from her. So the reality TV star took to Instagram yesterday to document that she had visited her nephew's school earlier in the week in response to concern that he's been bullied. So she shared the footage of herself in a car arriving at the school to pick up her nephew, teasing that she'd gone there in a bid to solve any issues that he's been having with his peers. And it kind of struck us, I was like, fair play to her for stepping up and getting involved, you know. She really took action in a very, very emotional and tricky situation. So I was... it was lovely to hear that she went out of her way to do that. Now, Tom is on the line. Tom felt compelled to text the show yesterday after we were talking about this. Good morning, Tom.
Hello, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good now.
Listen, yeah, it's a lovely day. And thanks for getting in touch with the show with your text message. Now, you felt compelled to text into the show yesterday. Why was that?
From listening to what you're saying there about Maura Higgins, but then also Cormac mentioned something which, you know, struck a bit of a chord as well. And it's kind of something which people don't talk about. And I went through, look, most people get, you know, picked on a little bit, but school for me, so secondary school was, SH1T basically, for, you know, parents, even in my eyes. But then I said, right, it's about time we do more about it, and because bullying leads on then to mental health, insecurities, low self-esteem, etc.
Sure. Tom, just put the phone up to your mouth there, just so I can hear you properly.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So you don't mind me saying you're in your mid-30s now. So it's just interesting that after all these years, it, like we talk about on the radio, and it still hits home, you know, with you and still has an effect. Can you tell me about your experience of bullying? Did it start in secondary school?
Pretty much started in secondary school. Basically, look, I was in boarding and, you know, shoved into dorms of people from, you know, similar area to you.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I was a little bit different to most and was an easy target as such. So sort of started first year and then progressively got worse and worse to the point where I ended up leaving the school after about 4 years.
Was it physical?
Oh, yeah. Like, when you're boarding, you know, you're in your dorms and the beds can be moved around pretty quickly. So I don't know, whatever the mindset of certain people were, to come into the dorm I was in particular, and I suppose being the easy target, I'll be the one to get the bed flipped over or flipped sideways, and yeah, resulted in me getting sort of concussed a few times.
Concussed?
Yeah. I think anyway, the lads the next morning would sort of tell me that, are you okay? And I'd be like, sort of, yeah, grand, why? And they'd say, do you not remember last night? And I'd be like, I remember people coming in and then sort of putting my bed back together, which I thought was straight away. They said, no, we'd help you. I'm like, all right. So, yeah.
And how often would stuff like that happen to you?
Actually, I can't really remember now, but it'd be once, twice a month.
Right.
Yeah. And it just got to the point where you couldn't really hack it and didn't tell anyone for about 2-3 years. Because I just thought that's lad banter. And if I, you know, take it on the chin, one might accept me, but not at all. And then I just sort of took a decision to move to a more local school.
What, was there a time or a point where you thought, I need to tell someone now because this is just getting out of hand?
Ah, yeah, it got to the point where, you know, you wouldn't want to be walking around the school on your own or at night time anyway, you'd be worried about going to sleep. And you'd sort of be sitting up in your bed trying to chat to people, but then you'd be told to be quiet and go to sleep. So then you just hear a rustle and a bustle of a dorm down the way, and you just be a storm in, and yeah, Yeah, pretty much a fear, yeah.
Tom, so. You must have... How did you get through your schooling? And I mean, it must have had a huge effect on your work at the time and making friends and...
Well, sure. At that point, I just shrugged it off. I don't know where sort of the mental strength came from, but I think it's when I was 14, it's when the sort of the real negative thoughts came in. And so at 14, I didn't know what depression was. But it's only sort of in the last year, 2 years, I started getting proper counselling. I kind of realised I was 20 years of depression from that, from those early days. And I said, right, you need to address it. And I don't know, I look back at it now and I'm sat here, you know, with an awkward smile on my face because I just did it. You get up in the morning, you put your shirt and your tie on, you go to breakfast, and then you crack on with school all day, and yeah, you just kind of you push it away. And I think that's what a lot of people do now with, you know, impure thoughts and, you know, negativity. They bury it.
They bury
it. And then it comes out, yeah. So
looking back on that young lad, that young Tom who had to endure such horrific things on a weekly, monthly basis, and, you know, not being able to sleep at night and being so young. When you look back on that, Tom, how do you feel?
I don't know. I suppose proud of myself for keeping going. And
yeah.
Proud of myself then for talking to someone about it.
Who was that person, Tom? Who did you go to?
Well, my parents, first of all, they looked in the back in the rearview mirror, and I was just quiet as a ghost on a Monday morning going to school, and they said, are you okay? And sure, when you're whatever 14, the floodgates open. And so I told them anyway, and they were like, right, well, what do you want us to do? And I said, I'll be fine, I'll figure it out. But then there was a teacher who was pretty sound about it, and like, I didn't want to say who it was, because then if a teacher said, here, Joe Bloggs, I hear you've been picking on Tom there, the hiding gets worse, you know. So it'll be the fear of calling people out on it.
And it getting worse. Isn't that the biggest fear why we don't say anything at the time?
Yeah.
You know, because there's a fear that you'll be called a snitch and rat, and it will get worse. And that's what I was saying yesterday. You know, please, please tell someone, because the biggest thing with this is it tends to just go on for so long until something gets done about it. So yeah. Eventually you had this teacher who was pretty sound and kind of took care of you a little bit.
Yeah, like I'd just wander down to his office every now and then during the week and just have a chat and or lay it all out, or if I didn't want to talk about it, I'd write it down and give it to him and then ask him to rip it up straight away. Just so there's no proof of it. Because, you know, talk is talk, and once you say it, no one can ever use it again. You hope anyway, in confidence. So yeah, he just then said, right, how can I help? And I said, well, I don't know. But I got to a point where, back then, when I got a mobile phone, he'd say, look, write a message on your phone and just send me a text if you hear something happening. And he'd look after the dormitory runs every now and then. So whenever he was on and something happened, I'd drop him a text. But luckily, I only had to do it once. And
did your parents pull you out of the school?
No, they offered to. But at the time, my sister was in the school as well. And I didn't want to be, you know, a hindrance to mum or dad or to my sister. So I kind of said, look, I'll suck it up and I'll deal with it. Because I don't want to worry my parents. And that was when I was like 14 and 15.
Wow.
And over the years, I have worried them. because we went, well, look, at bullying leads to some mental health issues, which has, yeah, caused a few of my friends to not be with us anymore as well. Be it bullying when they were younger, insecurities in their teens, early 20s, and then taking their lives in their 20s as well. So it's been hasn't been a fun ride, but we crack on, I suppose, and from my point of view, I just didn't want my parents to ever worry.
Isn't it crazy to think that even back then, when things were so severe, and you have a young lad who's in his teens, who can't get to sleep at night for fear that someone's going to come in and knock him unconscious or whatever, that even as good as the intentions were of that teacher, like, nothing really was done?
No. Thinking back on it now, maybe I should have, but I knew if I had, I'd probably be the most hated person in the year. So it was a fear of not being accepted. Well, worse than it already wasn't accepted.
Sure.
So, and again, that's kind of...
I don't mean you, Tom. I mean, it's evident that the teacher felt helpless, obviously wanted to help you and was there for you, but didn't have the tools, is what I'm saying. Didn't have the tools to make it stop, which is inevitably what needed to be done. The bullies time... do you see them in your life? Do you see them on social media? Like, do they even remember how? No, you don't. They're just they're out of your life now.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I'd cross the street now if I saw them again, or take action. But what's the point in that?
Sure.
Again, I think nowadays, whatever, 20 odd years later, it still has an effect. I don't know if you listen to many different people talking about mental health and that, but there's, you know, imposter syndrome, where you feel as though you're never going to be accepted, you don't fit in. I struggle with that nearly every day. But it was from, you know, going to counselling, talking to different life coaches and talking to other people who work within mental health, that, you know, it's pretty normal. Everyone has a bit of an insecurity, and you just have to say, right, put your suit on, whatever it may be, and go to work and put a smile on your face and try and crack on and, you know, eliminate the things which may cause any negativity or insecurities or flashbacks to
that time.
You know, previous experiences. Yeah.
How's life for you now?
Good. Don't want to go into it too much detail, but over the years, depression, suicide has been a big part of my life. Lost a lot of people close to me, including my sister. Again, you learn from it. And my father had a very simple concept, and I asked him how he was coping and everything, and he just said, "Look, it was their time. So we live and learn from the ones who've gone before us and live on their memory and try and keep working to fight the good fight and help kids who may be getting bullied or anyone who's dealing with mental health issues." There's so many channels to talk to, from, you know, your parents to your friends to your counsellors to Aware to Peterhouse to there's so many out there. And it helps me anyway, and I'm frequently in touch with a guy out in Ashburn. He has a company called How's Your Head, HUH. And he was mentioned on your show before, I believe.
Yes, he's been on my show, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was one of the hockey players mentioned it before. But anyway, I met Mark, and he's doing a great job. And it's just spreading the word. Because people are, it's a stigma still in this day and age, and people are scared to talk about feeling down, insecure, etc.
Is that why you felt compelled to text in? Because you said in your text that you listened to the show, but this the first time you getting in contact. Is that why you feel so strongly about this, that it's the stigma and it's the fact that we don't talk about it enough?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And again, look, I've been meaning to text in over the years, but you never do. But then yesterday, when someone like Cormac just openly said, yeah, I got bullied when I was a kid, and people need to know about it, so... And I said, right, pull in there for a meeting and drop a text in and see what comes of it. And hopefully this helps at least one person anyway.
Well, a lot of texts are coming in at the moment. Fair play to Tom. I was mentally bullied and physically. at times in school, and I can so relate to what he's saying. Someone else says the same happened to me every day for 8 years. It was girls bullying me. I'm a man. Someone else says, well, that guy talking about his bullying ordeal is just, it's amazing. It's devastating. I know people say hurt people, hurt others, but it's just not okay. And they keep coming in. Tom, I want to thank you for taking the time to text in. It's I think you'll help a lot of people as well. And you've mentioned a couple of helplines and resources out there. If anybody is in need of a chat or needs to reach out, AWARE is a national voluntary organization providing support through depression. There's a helpline. It's 1-800-303-302. And they're online, aware.ie. You mentioned Pieta there. And yeah. How's Your Head? That's another organisation which is a really good resource. There's plenty out there. You just need to reach out. You need to, like you said, you need to stop the car, pull in, make that phone call, send that text. Because talking is a great, I would say, comfort. And to know that you're not alone and there's so many people like you out there. Tom, you mind yourself, okay, love?
Yeah, thanks a million, Jen.
Thank you, Tom. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon. Bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Bye, Tom. There we go. Like I said, AWARE is online, aware.ie, if you need that help.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.